Ladies, gentlemen, and all sports fans of Calgary, welcome to your morning show. Sports, life, food, and everything else. This train rarely comes off the rails. We've got big guests, the best insiders, and all the breaking news you need. Boomer in the Morning starts now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
So the bet on this one must be different, because yesterday I was saying kind of very superhero-y. This one almost feels like it's some Starsky and Hutch. We should be, all right, guys, we got to get out of here. We hop into some van or some old 70s car and rip out of a parking lot somewhere, lose a hubcap, that sort of thing.
Definitely need a pack of smokes in the arm.
Yeah, tucker up your shirt sleeve there for sure. But it's a vibe. I'm here for it. Welcome to the show, everybody. Wednesday. It's, you know, what you need to be able to do, you got to be able to you stick and move. You got to be able to versatile. Yesterday, hey, Rhett, how you feeling? Crickets. What? Oh, he's not here. Oh, okay. Well, away we go. Pivot, right? We got this thing. Come in today. There's no one sitting across from me. Where's Pinter? Oh, he's at home. All right. Let's pivot. Is he on the show or not on the show? I'm going to be on the show. All right. So we're all together, but we're all separate again. It's nothing shakes us.
It's like just going down memory lane. You love it. Just back to the spring of 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The good old days.
So much has changed. So different.
A lot of change.
So much has changed. But here we are, getting it all together. You know, Riley's here. He's the glue. He's keeping it all together. Got some printing done this morning. We got a little rundown here.
How's that plantar fascia? I haven't had the update there.
The fascia. How's he doing? Fasciitis.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. It flared up once at some point, but since about July, I would say I haven't had to. Well, no, that's not true. I had it in the playoffs.
Playoffs, yeah.
Yeah. So I would say probably September, October, it's been all right since then. Just hoping I can go a full season without getting injured. You know, I had the turf toe the year before, plantar fasciitis.
Just a
this
band-aid.
Year.
Wow, you're taking care of yourself now, all that fancy eating you're doing.
That's true.
Yeah. So the fasciitis, is that surgery? What do you do to remedy that?
It can get there, but mine was just rest and icing and rolling it out on a lacrosse ball.
Yeah, lacrosse ball.
And is it like the arch of the foot, the inside, the arch?
Yeah, it's from the heel to like the base of the toes that gap there.
What about you, Rhett? Dealing with anything today? You got any?
My back is killing me.
Okay, your back.
I moved the couch.
Yeah.
And we all know that is just asking for injury.
Are we dealing with a lower back, like a lumbar type deal?
Lower back, right in the bottom, right in the,
lumbar.
No good. Like, you're just sitting there and it's just aching.
You want me to come over there? I'll walk on it like old George Jefferson.
I don't think that'll work. I think maybe mid-back.
Kick my shoes off.
No.
Somebody walked on somebody's back in studio a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was Beard Science. My back was a mess. It was the old snap.
I don't think anyone was letting you walk on their back. No offense.
No.
I was trying to place the... Yeah, that sounds
kill
right.
a guy. You
yeah,
know?
That's right.
Now, what about...
Knew you. I'd happily. I had no problem with that.
So what about you, Pinder? You got any ailments?
Got back in the old spacesuit yesterday, so feeling very good. A little sore. It had been a month since the last one, so all right.
So this
let
is
let it rip.
Because I think that if there's new people listening to the show, I'll be like spacesuit. You have some harebrained cockamamie scheme that someone showed you in the back lane on some dodgy Kijiji deal, and now you continue to go and do. It's a workout, but you wear some sort of a tinfoil suit.
It's not tinfoil. It's a suit, and you do a bunch of working out in it while it's electronically stimulating your muscles. So it's like if you ever had one of those Dr. Ho things, try doing workouts with that cranked up, and you grow muscle way quicker. It's very efficient.
So is it twitching? Is it twitching you when you do it?
It depends on how you crank it up. It can sort of get to feeling like fuzzy and a little bit of needles, and then it can get to twitching, and then it can be like, like muscle grabs. Yeah.
Then it feels like a taser.
Light tasing. Very, very, just a sprinkling, a dusting of tasing while you work out.
The beginning of the tase.
Yeah. Little
it's a good workout. Boom. It's an excellent workout.
Well, I trust you guys. I
got to stay hydrated. Got to load up on fast burning carbs after boom, and then let the muscle grow. Get lots of sleep, which we do in this business very well.
So, yeah, you know, well rested, well fed.
Did you get
hydrated?
8 hours last time? Like actually 3, but no, I didn't get 8.
Yeah, this week 8, because you know we put it all together. But well, who's counting? No Flames game last night, so we have no Flames game to talk about today, unfortunately. Would have loved to have come in and talked about the Islanders and Barry Trotz and
Poor Trotz,
Chris Gibson.
Yeah, how they got Christopher Gibson.
You'd gibbied every once in a while. It happens.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. But no game.
Oh, my back, Dean.
Oh,
this
no.
is no good.
You're getting old, hey?
Jeez. Oh, it's miserable.
Do you need to take your gear and do it from the hot tub outside? Or
I could, I guess. I could go on the, what's that called?
Patio?
The phone one. No, the phone headset.
Oh, yeah.
Opal.
Because it sounds really good.
Yeah, you guys like that.
And then you get all robotic in there. Yeah.
That'd be good.
I've always said we should do that. You know, you could just play some sound effects and be like, oh, and we got Rhett in the hot tub. And then you
didn't... Back in the day, the old Sports at 11, Sports at 11:30 show, they'd sat in a hot tub and did a show.
Yep.
I feel like they did that.
Yeah, I think they...
back when local TV existed, that was cute.
Yeah, Mike Toth and the boys were... they did a lot of things back in the day.
Yeah, I don't know how many you could do anymore, but they sure did some things.
Yeah, didn't they go to the Rippers?
Oh, dear.
Didn't they? I thought really? One night they did it outside the Rip joint or something like that. I don't really recall, but anyway... Or maybe that
making that up,
or maybe that was us in Red Deer. I'm trying to remember.
No, it was
a little foggy, So yes, and I mean, it looks like they're going to play tomorrow, though, right? This I've heard nothing to the contrary. Senators in town tomorrow, 7 o'clock start at the Dome. Who can go? I don't know. Season ticket holders, they're limited. There's no food. There's no. But it sounds like this game is going to go. Have either of you heard something to the contrary?
Nope. But we're not hearing a lot. It's as scheduled, and it's still scheduled. I just don't know why they canceled that Vegas game like 2 weeks ago. Like what happened 2 weeks ago that this that isn't canceling Ottawa, but is it like the border? It doesn't seem that serious.
And I understand
Toronto's in the States. Or I guess a lot of Canadian teams will be in the States planned, but yeah.
Yeah, because I get it. There's no border crossing, but the Senators did cancel or postpone a game with the Oilers and moved it forward. So how do you know? Who's
well, Connor. Say? Connor got sick. You got to alter the schedule.
That's right.
The team's had enough obstacles to you know deal with. You
but Kane should be
every once in a while.
Kane should be healthy, though, right, for Saturday? Should he be all right for the Oilers? Because the rumor mill suggests it's out there that Evander Kane will probably have a deal in place by the weekend, within the next day or two. In fact, former NHL referee Tim Peel, who is he's in cahoots with our buddy Frank Saravalli, he suggested that it's going to be an Oiler deal. As of 14 hours ago, Tim Peel, I'm hearing Evander Kane will be signing in the next few hours. Destination, the Edmonton Oilers. How do we feel?
Are we... Yeah. It reeks of desperation. I mean, if you're going to bring that caliber of human into your room, things probably aren't going the way you planned.
Because we did talk about this yesterday, right? When you were right, there's desperation... for general managers, for coaches, for teams, obviously the player here is desperate to get some money coming in, as we're led to believe he doesn't have a lot of it or owes a great deal of it. But you have to be, and I guess the Oilers would fall into that category, not because of where they are in the standings or anything, but they have a clock is ticking when it comes to Connor McDavid and his age and the desire to win. I guess this...
He's the exact kind of player they'd... Could use, right?
Goes on that power play.
I mean, there's not a team out there that couldn't use a player like that.
That's the thing. He's not a weird skill guy that you have to squeeze in a certain slot. Every team is better with Evander Kane, the hockey player. The question is, which team is better with Evander Kane, the human, wandering around?
Well, and you know, one of those teams that would be better with him is the San Jose Sharks. But they cut
and
bait,
what they,
right?
And what did they say? Yeah.
But they're also there's a lot of money that they want to get away from, too.
So I think, right? From the GM's perspective, you're right. That would be the impetus, but the players and the word out of that locker room at the end of last year was, we're done with them. We want to move forward with this group of guys in here. We don't want that headache. So therein lies the riddle that is Evander Kane. Great hockey player. He's a power forward that gets you 30 and can skate and fight. Like, goodness, doesn't that sound great? And despite all that, his teammates said, yeah, thanks, no thanks. They know him better than anyone else.
Here was Friedman yesterday on the JM show.
Edmonton's pitch is this. First of all, the Oilers need some help. They need some depth. They need some scoring. When McDavid and Draisaitl are not on the ice, they're getting absolutely filled in. And even when they're on the ice at 5-5, they're not doing as well as you would think or hope. They need some help. And all of a sudden, you know, Kane's available. And there were absolutely some teams that went nowhere near this. But there were teams that were definitely interested, and Edmonton is one. And, you know, what they can say to him is, you can play for the rest of the year on the number one power play and potentially on the same line as Connor McDavid. I could see how that could appeal to someone, for sure. You know, you have to believe that you can handle it, and I think that Edmonton clearly does. I think they think that'll appeal to Kane, and I don't think they're the only team in there, but I think they are making a serious pitch.
Other teams rumored to be in that mix, and I love it because they really are, in many ways, the villain right now in the NHL. Vegas, of course, is in the mix. Tampa Bay, Florida, Carolina, and to some extent, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Are the Leafs desperate? Oh, yeah. Does Carolina feel like we need to start capitalizing? Quite likely. Florida, Tampa Bay, and obviously Tampa Bay, it's house money, but if you can bring them in, you would think that that's a room in an organization where you can handle, or you would at least feel confident in that you could try and handle him, the person. And yeah, Florida wants to get things going. So it's going to be a team that...
Another forward? Holy.
It's going to be a team in win-now mode, but the level of desperation, I think it's probably different for Toronto than it is for Florida, than it is for Edmonton, but... here's the thing. I just don't feel like it will work. I think he will get points, but I don't know that the end of the season ends with Kane lifting a cup over his head and the storyline being this guy's completely changed. It's a rebirth. Kenny Holland was talking yesterday about how, guys deserve second chances.
I believe in second chances. It's hard to be perfect. We're all people. We all make mistakes. Some make big mistakes. Some make little mistakes. But it's hard to be perfect. I think if somebody makes a decision or does something in their life and they make a mistake, I think they have to, try to learn from it and try to change, and should be entitled to a second opportunity once they do some of those things.
So are we two, or are we not at 12 with Kane? What 12th chances? How does he feel about that?
And how are you holding him accountable on that end?
Yeah, you're not.
Right? Of course, what's he going to say? Yeah, no, I've learned my lessons. I've cleaned myself up. I'm not that person. Okay. Well, how are you?
How are you saying that? Jeez.
How are you monitoring?
Yeah.
How are you establishing guidelines? I'm not saying don't give him this chance. I'm actually saying, okay, Ken, if you believe in this and that's what you're going to do, what is the protocol? What's the plan? Oh, well, he said he's good. Oh, okay, then away we go. Is that?
And there's certainly, like you say, Ryan, it was about second, third, fourth. You don't need to apologize for being bankrupt. I don't need you to come in and say to guys, I just want you to know I've been bad with my money, but I'm a new guy. That's not this at all. But it's not just all of the legal issues and everything else. It's so he's a renowned bad teammate. Guys talk ill of him from every stop he's been. You go back to junior hockey guys in Vancouver.
Yep.
That played for the Giants. They didn't like him then.
And it, this whole second chance, like, really, he violated a rule, was suspended, violated some more rules, and now is going to get right back in. Like, where's the, I've learned my lesson. Like, I'm not hearing that speech from Evander or his people. Are you not enabling more than giving him a chance at redemption? Like, why wouldn't it be the exact same Evander Kane that shows up wherever he's going?
And it's one of those things, too. You can say what you want, and every team would do it. And if I was running a team, and I guess if I was bringing him in, I would say the same. That second chances, and this is an opportunity, and where we feel like this and that. You, why are you bringing him in? You know all of that. And you're going to have to deal with some off-ice stuff. But he is that good of a player that you do it because the pressure is so intense. And I don't know, I got to admit, because I was looking, and what are you going to do? Go to Twitter to see if people are positive or negative. It's all negative on Twitter. It's mostly negative online. I don't know what longtime Oiler fans think. They want to win. They'd probably be okay if he's scoring overtime winners and you get to the playoffs and he's scoring big goals for them. But as Oiler fans, how do they feel about bringing in a guy whose reputation is so sour to that team that they're very proud of?
I think it's exactly what we said. You're excited for what the player can do on the ice, and you're probably scared shirtless about what that might do to the room. That probably is a fragile one, given the recent track record, the continued talk about needing veterans in that room like Mike Smith and Duncan Keith. It doesn't seem like he's going to Tampa and is going to learn from everyone else on how to win. It feels like a fragile place already, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a case study, not in hockey, but in morals and ethics, and, you know, where's your compass at? What do you value in your team? And clearly, if you bring in Evander Kane, you can say all you want about culture and identity. It's secondary to winning. And to some people, that does not matter. Remember last year, and I found it kind of funny, when Anthony DeAngelo got into it, because he's also one of these guys, so, and I don't think it's anywhere near to the level that Evander Kane has been at. You're talking legal issues. For Tony DeAngelo, he punched a teammate, which ended it in New York. Was it big Trump lover? Is that fair to say?
Like, I don't think it was his politics so much as how he operated. Because there's lots of people that like Trump in the league that aren't, you know, that's not a problem. You can like who you like politically. It was the way he interacted with people, including his teammates, and they didn't seem to be worried about him leaving. And you mentioned Carolina earlier. They've gone down this road. They dealt with the backlash in the offseason, and, oh, a certain number of our season ticket holders are furious at us. And then they were all standing and cheering when he scored the OT winner a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
What was it? He had a point against Calgary. Like,
and I could... Sorry.
I don't know. It's both of that, right?
And the reason I bring that up is I remember Larry Brooks in the New York Post put out that the Calgary Flames were one of the teams doing their due diligence on Tony DeAngelo. And we looked into it, and that was not really the case at all. But Flames fans were disgusted. There were so many people. I can't handle.
Well, can I interject there a little bit?
Uh-huh.
Because in today's world, everyone is disgusted. And if you make a mistake, people want to. You've now become the worst human in the world. Now, I think this Evander Kane thing is a little bit much, but I don't trust society as a whole in today's world.
No, like I say, where do you go to get the barometer? You go online,
right?
Social media? Where do you find
it? There's no way. People love, this is their, is it a pulpit? Do you speak from the pulpit?
You could, yeah.
Boy, that's a big word. I don't know.
Do you think? Anyway, wherever you're speaking from, you're high and mighty when you're online telling people how it is. And there's a lot of people loving the opportunity to do that. And so, anyway, and I'm not trying to make a case for Kane or not, but to go to the court of public opinion is not the place to do things nowadays.
People texting in on the fan feedback line, is this not the Antonio Brown of hockey? I think it is, absolutely. I guess the only difference would be, is Connor McDavid pulling strings to try and get management to bring him in? That
this
I don't
is the difference. Antonio's teammates numerous times have come out and said he needs love. He's a good guy. He's got a lot of issues. Who has come out and defended Evander Kane at all as a teammate in any of his stops anywhere?
It's crickets.
And so that's why it's different than AB. He doesn't have a star going to bat for him. He doesn't have, and to be fair, he's a very good player, but Antonio Brown was the best at his position for a significant amount of time. He's not quite as good, so maybe he doesn't have as much rope as AB. And AB also won a title last year. Like, that worked. Everyone's going to say, look, it flamed out this year. It's like, well, yeah, but go check the banner. It's still hanging from last year. So I see similarities, but I think AB is well-regarded by his teammates. He just done a lot of really crappy things away from the football stadium.
Yeah. And I think
Evander Kane's done a lot of crappy things away from the arena and isn't liked by his teammates.
Yeah, I think with Antonio Brown, people will tell you that are close to him that this is a guy, and even Tom Brady said, guy could use some help, could maybe, it seems like it's as much a mental thing with Antonio Brown as anything else. He does need some help. With Kane, maybe that's the issue. But even remember, because you talk about showing remorse, and I don't know if it's you need an apology or whatever, but if it's about second or third chances, at some point, don't you have to show some sort of remorse? Remember, he was on a one-on-one sit-down with Emily Kaplan of ESPN and talking about the situation with his ex-wife slash partner, whatever it is, and his issues. And there was little to no remorse. If anything, he was feeling sorry for himself and felt like he was being portrayed in a unfair light by the media and other people. There was no remorse there at all. And that was 6-8 months ago. This doesn't feel like a guy who is throwing himself out there with full apologies. No, I made a huge mistake. I just want another chance. I don't get that vibe with this guy at all.
No, I agree. And that's what I'm saying. If you're bringing him in, to Rhett's point, like, you're not trying to nurture a guy trying to rehab his image or to reinvent himself the human. You're enabling, you know, a really bad teammate. I don't think he's at the spot where he thinks he has to change. It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, is this a rock bottom thing? Don't they? People have to, I mean,
it doesn't feel like rock bottom. If this doesn't work and now you're into the offseason and you owe $20 million and the league doesn't want you, now that feels like we're getting closer. Now you might start showing remorse or look in the mirror.
Well, and Rhett, yesterday we played the clip from Elliot that the breaking point in a way for San Jose, or at least the point that San Jose got to where they felt they could legitimately waive him for the purposes of terminating his contract and win a grievance when and if it was filed by the NHLPA, was that he had tested positive for COVID. And this is even after the fake COVID document that he submitted, went on a flight after testing positive when he should have been in quarantine. And then secondarily was supposed to have reported back to his team on December 31st and didn't show up until January the 6th. January the 6th was just the other day. So this is not a guy who's a year removed, 6 months removed from nonsense. He's not 2 weeks removed from it.
And there's been, yeah, it's.
So, I mean.
That's where I struggle with it, too, is that you don't. It doesn't come across as a guy that's ready to change and admit that maybe I'm the issue.
Absolutely not. It feels like this is a, hey, you know, they're screwing us in San Jose. We're going
to
get to the end of the year and don't worry. We'll be a free agent again and it'll be back into the big time bucks. It feels like, you know, stay the path, not I have to look in the mirror.
Would he be a great Oiler? Yeah, he probably would be. He'd probably be a great just about whatever, but...
He might be unreal.
He's a very good player. Like 30 power forward. Are you kidding me?
Like you said, prior to this, no, we can't have Evander Kane. Oh, is it that or is it his $7 million price tag? Now, if it's $1 million, million and a half, $2 million, different story. And I'm not trying to say I'm a better person or we're better people, because maybe if I were Ken Holland or if I were the GM of the team of a team that felt like we got to do this now, maybe I'm doing the same thing. But I just think as a GM, I would look at the other 20, 22, 23 guys in the room that are here already and put them first before this guy. Because I really think that there's you're sour in the water by bringing this guy in. I don't know if you can sour water, can you? Do you taint the water?
Sour. Yeah. Taint, yeah. Well, yeah, probably soured. Make it no good. The water's not good there to begin with, so it's...
That's what I've heard, yeah. But it's an interesting observation.
It's interesting, and it's not surprising that someone wants to do it either, because that's the world of sports, and that's we've seen it before, and there have been instances where second chances have really turned people around. It's just, again, we go back to it's not a second chance.
Yeah.
And it doesn't appear like he's looking for help. I mean, like, 2 weeks ago? 10 days ago?
Ten, yeah.
Like.
Yes. Like, just last week.
Doesn't scream, I'm Mormon. I mean, no. Maybe he was getting help, but I don't know.
And doesn't it feel like Dave Tippett's got enough on his plate dealing with goaltenders and everything else? And I think that the media... When Anthony DeAngelo shows up in Carolina, well, you've got Rod Brindamore, who clearly is a leader of that team, and it's a market where
he owns that team,
right?
Yeah.
And it's a market where you can bring in a player that has some baggage and it smooths some things over. Edmonton's a wild market. It's a Canadian market, and that is it's a market. It's a huge, huge ad.
It's a Canadian market with two of the world's best. People are watching.
And Evander Kane's
not
hiding.
That's the desperation, right?
He's not hiding in Edmonton. He goes to the grocery store or goes out.
He better hide.
Right?
Yeah, he can't.
Because if he leaves his house, people are going to know.
Well, and this is the problem. I don't feel like his behavior is ready to change. Are we not going to see people taking pictures of Evander Kane at 1 a.m. somewhere?
Yeah.
The guy that was flying helicopters from Buffalo to Toronto to watch
and
Blue
what
Jays
can you put in even
practice?
In a contract? Like, what? How do you handle that contract-wise? Is there something that you can stipulate in the contract? I think these contracts are almost—they're pretty standard across the board. You can add some bonuses, maybe. I don't know that you can say, "Hey, if he's out past midnight, he's gone."
Well, that's the risk. The thing I'm curious about is, you know, that team Edmonton, there's a lot of talk about culture, intangibles. Like, they didn't go get Duncan Keith because he's playing great hockey. They thought they needed someone who'd won, and that there's leadership and there's cultural value, and it's the room. Where's all that narrative now?
Wouldn't that be an interesting conversation if you could get Keith on? He's been there now long enough to understand that room.
Yeah.
And to get some honesty out of him. I have no idea. I'm clearly speculating, but the rumors are that maybe the room isn't as good as it needs to be. And I have no idea.
Here's a great text. Oilers are desperate. Kane this week, Babcock next week.
Oh, dear.
Right? Yeah.
Last the call pressure, for Kenny, if that's the case. Like
pressure to win. We'll break here as we roll through your we got Daryl Sutter coming on in the 8 o'clock, just after 8. Big D going to give us a call.
That.
Yeah. How about that? Talk to him about any number of things.
Aren't relative or relevant because there's nothing happening. We don't want to bug him.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's just talk about. So do you like
Indianapolis? How did you like it?
Do you like Charlay or Hereford? What's your favorite kind of cow? I don't know.
You've been fixing any fences. What's going on the ranch?
The snow show is coming up before 9 o'clock as well. There's a lot going on. A long time, one of the greatest players that the NHL has ever seen is joining another one of the greatest players that the NHL has ever seen to help run a franchise. A Hall of Famer crushed a former, not teammate, but Bobby Clark took the gloves off yesterday. It took a little while, but he went right after Ron Hextall. If you haven't heard it, we'll have the audio for you. The NHL last night, over a handful of games, what's happening in Nashville with the Predators? The Predators are an absolute wagon right now as they have handed Colorado has, what, two losses in their last 10 or 11 games, both of them to the Predators. I don't know what's happening there. And I don't know what Kodak Black is, Kodak Brown, Kodak Black. I don't know what it is.
It's camera, Dean.
But it's a thing. So we'll
film? Is it film? What is it?
Well, it was video.
Coffee?
As it turns out. We'll get into it. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
Guests of this program, join us on the hotline brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Come on in, enjoy hockey and football game day specials. As always, located 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, pickup and delivery also available. It's Atlas Pizza. You can give them a ring, 403-248-3344. Some of the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs you ever had in your life. That's not on the liner sheet, but I'm just telling you. Just letting you know. That's how it goes. Boomer here in studio, the iconic downtown studios. We have got Rhett Warner and Ryan Pinder. Pinder sent me a photo of his workstation today. He's at home of sorts. You're not in studio. And this computer that you're using.
Oh yeah, it's a fossil.
Did you get that?
Methuselah used this back in the day.
You steal it from the Smithsonian? Like, what have you got going there?
Well, I can tell you it's work issued, so.
But covered in dust?
It's been probably just collecting dust and aging it double time since it was last used regularly, which would have been what? Before July when I started coming back in studio?
Yeah. But it works. But it works, right? It's all we need to know. Kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Rhett, are you doing Wordle?
No, but I heard about this Wordle, but I am not doing it.
I'm on fire, Dean. I'm on fire.
Pinder is on quite a Wordle run.
So you do this on your phone? Is it an app?
You can do whatever you want. Just Google Wordle and go.
Now, will I be distracted again? And
you could probably, it's kind of like a word version of something like a Sudoku, a little puzzle that doesn't take too long, one a day, and there's a coffee in 15 minutes you might have burnt there. So feels like something you do when you're 70 and you've launched your children and you're retired, right?
Mm-hmm. It's one of those weird things that somehow captivates everybody, and it'll be over very soon, but right now it feels like the entire world is doing this dumb game. And I don't know how, because it's just a thing. But yet I'm just like all the other sheep. I'm kind of captivated by it.
How'd you do? You got today's done already, or what?
No, I haven't got today's yet. So no spoilers. No spoiler alert.
I was in trouble, but nailed it on the fifth guess.
Good for you. Daryl Sutter going to join us in the 8. Coach of the Flames, getting ready for a Thursday night game against the Ottawa Senators. It's been practice. And we'll get into a few things with him coming up. But right now, let's get caught up on all of it, all right? Basketball and football, all of it inside the Pinder Report. And it's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility. They are going to meet and beat all competitors' quotes. 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. Ryan Pinder.
Thank you, boys. Yes, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Riley. We'll start with the Calgary Flames, gentlemen, shall we? Not a bad idea. Boy, it's been busy. I mean, playing here, playing there, not playing at all forever. The update is not huge here, Dean. We're just going to sort of pick through some topics. Yes, the next game on the schedule is still Ottawa on a Thursday.
Uh-huh.
That happens to be tomorrow. 7 o'clock, dome, some capacity, no booze. And it's a Kachuk Bowl, so yeah, we'll watch it. We'll tell you about it the next day. Deal?
That sounds fine, yeah.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
One of popcorn? The topics of conversation, yes, I think popcorn's a move, and I want you to try organic butter and just see if you notice the difference or not. It blew me away. I didn't mean to do it. I'm not on a crusade here. I just was blown away, and I think
it's
you need
a way better flavor.
Savor the
it
flavor.
Does, yeah, it's
does it? So what, organic cow? Is that the difference?
Yeah, milk.
The cows fed organic.
The cows, they make origami. They fold the paper, and because they're doing that, they're calm and their butter's better, I think.
Got it.
They do yoga.
Got their hair in a bun. Some cow
man buns.
Cow man bun. Although I wouldn't be the man given the... Anyway, you can continue now.
Right. Wouldn't be a bull bun, wouldn't it? Let's move.
Either way, I don't want the cheese coming from the bull bun.
That's fair. One of the things that has been talked about with the Calgary Flames right now is a lack of secondary scoring beyond that top line of Kachuk, Gaudreau, and Lindholm. Who can you actually trust, Dean, to get you some offense? And yeah, that's an issue. And so while that's happening, I don't know if you've noticed, but young Jacob Pelche is having quite the campaign in the American Hockey League. 29 games, 31 points, 11 goals, 4 game winners. He's all over the score sheet. Darryl was asked yesterday about his philosophy on young players developing in the minors versus getting called up right away.
I think it's really important as an organization that we do a thorough job of that. So when players, you don't just call guys up and then not let them have success. You want them to have 1 or 2 years of success for sure. It's a big jump from, you're looking at Jacob, right, and saying, well, he's up there and scoring. Well, there's a big difference between the American Hockey League and the NHL, especially if you're first year pro and you're undersized. Jacob Pelche is an awesome, awesome kid he's got a great mindset for the game and energy for the game, but it's quite a bit different if you're not an elite scorer at this level, such as somebody like Johnny, and you're playing against guys that are 40 to 50 pounds bigger than you, you're going to have trouble. And you just got to mature and develop. That's for sure what Pelche will do.
He would also go on and discuss how the progression that you're seeing in Andrew Mangiapane. Make no mistake that it was, in his opinion, partly in because of the time that he spent in the American Hockey League, then mentioned Dylan Dubé and said, Dylan has some off days, kind of insinuating that maybe some AHL time could still be good for him.
More,
and then
at least.
And then talked about Valimaki as well. He said probably came up too soon to have him in the American Hockey League injured, but to have him down there and playing a bunch of minutes, it takes longer for defensemen, seems to be kind of the way it goes. It's not a bad thing. You're not a failed prospect if you're 21, 22, and you're still in the American Hockey League.
I agree with him on a player development basis. What I wonder about is, are you not better with him on the big squad right now than a lot of the options they're rolling in the top nine, or at least a couple?
I think
there's the rub, right? Like, yeah. I think they are better with Pelche, but it might be better for Pelche long-term if he's not here.
We will discuss in the 7.
All right. Well, yeah.
How about
the
that?
7.
Yeah.
Again, tomorrow, 7 o'clock against the Sens. That's the Flames story. Around the league we go. NHL, we almost got every game played last night, Dean. Boy, it was close. Carolina, Philly.
No.
That was the only one that didn't get off the ground. Sorry, Flyers fans.
You'll
have to wait another day for a loss against Carolina. Vancouver was in Florida looking at that wagon of a club they've got in Sunrise.
Ekblad at the blue line. Dishes off. Huberdeau to the goal line. Sent across by Reinhart. Now Ekblad fakes the shot. Huberdeau shoots and scores.
And despite numerous reports on the activities at the arena, there were no backdoor tap-ins last night, Dean, upon further review.
Oh, boy. Really?
5-2 Florida. That's the final. Tampa Buffalo.
Holy smokes.
Center point Kucherov.
Shoots! Score!
That's gracious.
Hat trick for Kucherov. He goes from 1 goal this year, entering this game, up to 4. He makes it 6-1.
Was that like 2 games?
One
and he's
plus
got more
3
goals than Monahan.
Oh, geez. Well, but it's ridiculous because he's played 3 games and he's got the 3 games. But he didn't get a point in the second game.
Bum.
So I mean, he was really, really average in game 2, and then he's back now. The goals that he scored and just how easy he makes it look. What a player! You were away last week when Rhett and I were gushing about this guy, but man, and I know that. I was listening to Halford and Brough, the guys out in Vancouver, talking about, here we got to go to Calgary. Look at Calgary. Go to Florida. You got to go to Tampa Bay. And it's like, teams, get ready. This Tampa Bay team is no fun to play against. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be, ooh, boy, Kucherov's back, eh? They're better with Kucherov than without him. Yeah, they are. Goalie's pretty good, too. 20 wins or whatever it is now.
Yeah.
It's a strong-looking team.
You're tacking on Carolina. That's just the top winning percentage in the league. That's murderer's row right there right now in the old Southeast Division. Let's go to Columbus.
Fed it up the slot. Here's Murphy with a shot for the left circle. He scores! A perfect setup there by Jonathan Toews.
That's Joe Murphy. Popped one in. I think it was Larmer with the apple. 4-2
it's not
Chicago.
Joe Murphy.
Colorado, Nashville needed overtime, boys.
To the left side, Mikhail Granlund. Johansson's in front. One-timer by Yossi. Rebound scores! Preds win! Matt Duchesne with the game-winning goal!
Yeah, old guitar strumming Matty Duchesne's having a season, Dean. I don't know if you've seen another two-goal game. Is he up to 16?
Both power play goals. That one there in OT on the power play. Have you seen their bloody numbers? That's 5 in a row, 12-1-1 in their last 14 games.
And they're good, but it's really been about Saros. He's made, I think, over 35 saves in almost all of the games on that run. It's crazy.
40 last night.
It's not like they're holding teams to 21 shots, right?
And Riddick got our boy Riddick, he's got a front row seat for all of it. Going to Tootsie's, eating Nashville hot chicken. And watching the
Ball
Predators
cap.
Win games.
What a game.
Those Nashville hot chickens are good.
They really are.
Is that a heartburn issue or no?
It is for sure, yeah. And Ring of Fire. Absolutely.
It's well worth it.
Dab, dab, dab. You know what I'm
saying? Toronto and Vegas. It was a 3-1 lead for the Leafs after 40, guys.
Like a baboon.
But, you know,
no, I don't know what you mean, Dean. Can you?
Oh, baboon ass? Come on now.
Don't know the segue from baboon ass to overtime between Vegas and Toronto, but so we'll just play the clip.
Willie Nylander works in, fakes, shoots, scores! Nylander came in, kind of made a little deke, then roofed it. And Willie Nylander makes Jack Campbell a winner as the Leafs win it in a shootout 4-3.
Pittsburgh got Evgeny Malkin back, boys, and that's bad news for 31 other teams.
Back to the far side for Kapanen. Right wing Marino, half slapper deflected in. They score! It's 2 for Gino. And the Penguins go up 3-1 with 5:22 to play in the second.
That's 2 for the Rusty Razor, and the Penguins would win.
No,
that damn Rusty Razor. He loves those two.
And Malkin could have had 3. He had the empty net, but passed off to Carter so that he could score his second of the game.
Second. They're very strong. The Penguins are good at almost everything. They don't allow much in the way of chances. I think they're incredibly well coached, and they just got a superstar center back.
Must be kind of good.
And the goaltender was the big question mark. He's been good.
The one note that they sent out, because now, officially, at least in one game, Crosby, Letang, and Malkin have all suited up for the Penguins for 16 straight years. That's the highest number. That's the most years ever by any trio in NHL history.
Really?
3 cups in there, 16 years. It's a long time.
All right, let's go to the final game, also needing overtime. Man, a lot of overtime last night. 3 of the 6 games to OT.
Unbelievable.
Mm. Detroit and San Jose were 2-2 heading to extra time.
Here come the Sharks moving in now. Stick handling. Donovan across the ice to Burns. Throwing it to the front of the net. Where is it? It's on the goal line. Score! Logan Couture gets the winner for the Sharks in OT.
Tonight, 3 games will get played. We think 4 were scheduled. We'll start with an original 7 battle in Boston, Dean, with Montreal visiting.
This team plays with a lot of heart.
Love those.
It's 7, isn't
those
it?
Those 7, 4. Yeah. Yeah. Although for clarity, Hartford no longer in the league. They're now
right,
the,
but Anaheim is, so there's the 7. 5 o'clock Sportsnet West. Seattle and Dallas will clash.
Make sure to wear a cowboy hat so you don't need a Como.
I don't know why that gets me. I like that.
Well, it's because it's great.
Yeah, I guess that's probably why. And Toronto will they're in Arizona. They're busy.
Back to back.
That's right, because we just told you they just told you. Willie Nylander beat baboon ass Robin Leonard in the shootout, right?
See, but when you say it over and over again, you can probably do it once, but now you've done it twice, which makes the grand total 3 times.
And Minnesota and Edmonton not going to happen.
No.
I don't know. I don't know if you saw the Wild. They've got their top two prospects got called up, and it's like, ooh, it's not going to be easy out of the gate. They got Boston, Washington. Well, yeah, Rossi and Boldy been real good, and they won both those games. But they won't beat Edmonton tonight because I guess they're rolling out the red carpet for Evander Kane, who's going to be landing at any moment with sunglasses on, a blazer, and no shirt. That sounds right?
Some bling hanging. What else? Some very.
I don't know if he has any
shoes.
Of those cash phones anymore. Remember, he was in Vegas using the old cash phone.
Poor reception, but very, very expensive.
That's true. Yeah, and popular with the ladies, I'm told. Those phones. So, other NHL news: Nick Lidstrom joins Steve Yzerman in Detroit. This is probably a lovely development. If your name's Mo Sider, wouldn't you say?
Desperate. What a move of pure desperation.
Yeah, when you bring in someone of his character, I
only
mean, geez.
1,500 games, seven Norrises, four cups, Conn Smythe, Olympic gold. Yeah, I mean, what possibly does this guy know about hockey?
We'll switch gears to the NFL fellows. We thought it was all done with Black Monday. Well, hang on, another firing yesterday. And another team that was already firing people. They said, you know what? That felt good on Monday. It's cathartic. Let's fire someone else. Dave Gettleman was out with the Giants on Monday. Yesterday, Joe Judge, see ya.
You're fired!
There goes the judge. Giants fans ecstatic. They were very
happy.
They were very worried on Monday when Gettleman left and Judge hung. Why is this? So they're... sigh of relief for Giants fans.
Now, here's the problem. They might be excited about him leaving, but whoever they hire next may or may not be good, and it's the same shirt roster, pretty much, that Joe Judge had to use. That's more the issue here, isn't it?
It's a big part of it, but you know how it is. But there's been change, and now everything's upward and onward from here.
And they do have some high picks so yeah. We'll see. Yeah, they got some high, because I think they got, they got the Jets have two, the Giants have two, Philly has two. There's a lot of teams with two first-rounders, I believe. Yeah. Let's look at the weekend, the super wild-card weekend slate in the line. Cincinnati on Saturday will host Las Vegas. They're favored by 5.5, Dean.
Oh, yeah?
Patriots-Bills for the third time this year. It's the rubber match, Rhett, at Orchard Park by the Big Tree with Bruce Smith.
Gargling.
And that is a 4-point line, Buffalo favored. Sunday, Buccaneers host the Eagles. 8.5 points is where that line's at. Niners visit Dallas, who are favored by a field goal. Steelers head to Arrowhead. 12.5 points. Mahomes and the Chiefs will have to cover, or they can just win, and they're not gambling, right? And Arizona, LA will wrap Super Wild Card Weekend with a Monday night affair. Rams, a rematch of Week 18, favored by 4. Anything that catch you?
I don't, because I was just looking on Sports Interaction. I see the Chiefs have now moved to a 13-point favorite.
Wow.
And
yeah, probably they should. If Big Ben can't throw it more than 2.5 yards in the air, that's I like the Chiefs' offense versus his.
And I was saying to you yesterday that one thing to monitor is that weather in Buffalo. It's expected to be bitterly cold, but the wind... Remember, we saw about a month ago when the Patriots and Bills hooked up. The wind was just a disaster. It was crazy. And what, Jones threw the ball three times? Doesn't look like it's going to be crazy windy. But if you are putting money down on this thing, wait for the weather forecast to update. Because if it gets breezy, you may not, 4 points may all of a sudden be, you're going to lay 4? You're good laying 4?
Right, you just got to love it. You got a team built for the winter in Buffalo, right? They can
run the ball. Yep. And... running the ball. Yep. Hey, number one D.
Is it?
NBA Raptors in action last night. Their 6-game winning streak, sadly, over. Had a 7-point lead on the Suns late.
I was tore up about it.
The Suns only have, I think, 7 losses all year. They rally. They win 99-95. Raptors without 2 starters and almost pulled that off. Great defensive effort. But they lose, Rhett, and that probably means you're not part of the North today. Because
nah,
you won 6 in a row, you were back. But
no way.
There you go. That, my friends, is the Pinder Report.
Pinder Report brought to you by Motorworks. Exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility. They will meet and beat all competitors' quotes. 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. Daryl Sutter going to join us in the 8. In the Pinder report there, you heard about Jacob Pelche, and he needs some secondary scoring, and he had some thoughts on that. We'll have our thoughts on it when we come back, but looking forward to having Big D come up in the 8. And we'll also play the audio. Bobby Clark joined Cam and Strick on their podcast. Andy Strickland, we had him on about a month and a half ago. We're talking with him. He got Bobby Clark on, and Bobby Clark, in no uncertain terms, is hanging a lot of the Flyers' failure that you're seeing this season on their old general manager, Hextall. We'll play that audio for you and get into it as well when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.